Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
And as I saw my parents having such a rich personal relationship with the Lord, I think what kind of clung to me was this realization that it was never anything you grew out of.
Welcome to the Collide Podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and I'm so excited to have Rebecca Cunningham on the pod today. Rebecca is a young adult who's following hard after Jesus with such passion and authenticity. She's finishing up her junior year at Biola University, and Rebecca served as an amazing intern here at Collide this past summer, and we were so impressed with her integrity, her work ethic, and her sunshiny personality. And so I invited her on the podcast today because I thought it would be super great to talk to a young adult who is taking her faith and making it her own. And just hearing from her will inspire us today and will call us to continue to pursue and follow hard after God in our own faith. So Rebecca, thanks for hanging out with me on the podcast.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks so much for letting me come and join. I'm excited.
It's awesome. Hey, tell us a little bit about your experience with Jesus growing up.
Yeah, for sure. So growing up, I've had parents who were both teachers and very involved in ministry. My dad has been an area director and pastor. And so I have definitely grown up in settings that from a young age have just been really full of the Lord and fun. So I think growing up, the biggest way that I kind of experienced Jesus was through my parents and going to different Young Life events and really just seeing a wide variety of ages of people and kinds of people just excited about Jesus. So that's often how I'll look back and kind of think of Jesus growing up in the different settings I've been in.
You know, I think as you're talking about a lot of kids who grow up in the church, grow up around people of faith, grow up with people involved in ministry, and sometimes they get burnt out. Sometimes they kind of, it all becomes blah, blah, blah. How did your experience, why do you think your experience did not turn into something that kind of burn out your faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think first of all, it was directly related to my parents. I have seen firsthand just the hardship that comes with being so involved in ministry, but at the same time have had parents who have just modeled a consistency of loving Jesus looks the same when it's hard and when it's easy, and I'll still get up and have my quiet time no matter what. And I think it looks different in different seasons. And so seeing the consistency of my parents in that, I think really was something that stuck with me, even when I didn't realize it, when I was little and I'd always walk downstairs and, you know, see my parents up first with their coffee, reading their Bibles. And I think it was moments like that, that prevented me from, I don't know, kind of feeling numb to things or falling into legalistic patterns, which, you know, by no means are inevitable. There were definitely times where that did happen to some extent. But I think, yeah, I've just seen so many different settings, whether that be church or Young Life. And so I think that kept it fresh too, for sure.
That's such a good word for parents. I mean, I'm a parent and I'm listening to you thinking consistency is huge when it comes to inviting our kids to know God. I mean, because you're kind of describing your parents as you're saying they didn't have a faith that was for show or a faith only when life was easy, that it wasn't a religion. It was actually this relationship. And that's the thing that you think made it so that you didn't burn out or take God for granted.
Yeah.
That's That's so good. What do you think were the things that sort of clung to you about Jesus that stuck with you and followed you into adulthood?
Yeah, I think going off of what I just said, kind of a twofold response to that. I think the first one was just a curiosity and an excitement to keep learning. And as I saw my parents having such a rich personal relationship with the Lord, I think what kind of clung to me was this realization that it was never anything you grew out of. Just the older that I got, there was always more to learn and ask about. And so I think just kind of a genuine excitement and curiosity stuck with me. And I think another thing that different church leaders and my parents were really intentional about helping me understand was just how much the Lord loved me. And just taking a really simple truth like that and helping me understand it in different contexts. And so I think that has always stuck with me too, just a deep understanding of how love is so involved in everything relating to the gospel. And just kind of the heart of that message is often a big childhood theme that I'll think back on.
Mm-hmm. I love that you are saying you never grow out of Jesus.
Like, yeah.
That's so good. And isn't it the simple things that kind of go with us the longest?
I know. Yeah, for sure.
I love that you clung to the love of God. You know, it wasn't what, you know, I don't know, 1 Corinthians 5:14, I don't even know what that is, but it wasn't like the specifics. It was this general idea that you could cling to and hold on to walking into adulthood. That's so cool. Who were some other influences in your life besides your parents that truly impacted you in a way that invited you to love God?
Yeah, I would say the first one I often think of is my grandma. I've had grandparents who have always been super involved and super verbal about their own personal relationship with the Lord, and just always knowing that I'm being prayed for by them every morning. I think that was a huge one when I was younger and is for sure now still. I also did work crew and was pretty involved with Young Life for a while. And so I think some of the different people that I met on Young Life staff as a high schooler really impacted me there too, because it was someone who was totally outside of kind of, you know, a family friend circle or my church I was involved in. And I think it just felt kind of new, and they were younger people, early 30s, who were on Young Life staff in Malibu. And I just remember, I don't know, just really kind of being impressed by that, but also just intrigued of just seeing different ways that people love the Lord and kind of being challenged by them.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's really cool about all these influences that you're describing is you first talked about your parents, then you talked about your grandparents who prayed for you every day, your parents who were consistent, and then sort of peers and younger people your age who loved God. And
yeah,
I would imagine that sort of generational span of seeing different people connect to God, pursue God from all the different generations must have somehow impacted you.
Yeah, I really do think so. And yeah, I guess I wonder too what it would have looked like if I was only surrounded by my parents or just my grandparents or peers. But I agree with you. That's why I think it's just so important to be involved in ministries and churches that are so multi-generational, where we can see what it looks like to love the Lord in every different season and in different unique ways. So 100%, I totally agree with you there.
And there's something also so powerful about seeing people your own age worshiping God. I remember I didn't believe in God until I was 21 years old. And when I started kind of seeking, is there a supernatural being, a divine one bigger than me? Not even Jesus, but like, is there a God?
Yeah.
I remember hearing about this ministry that was at Western at the time. It was called The Inn. It had like 1,000 students a week or something crazy at the time. And I remember walking into this church sanctuary, this old church sanctuary with stained glass windows and pews, and was filled with, you know, 18 to 22 year olds, like hundreds and hundreds, up to 1,000 of them. And I didn't know if I believed in God. And I sat there and I was so struck by the generation of young people's voices singing to the one who made the stars in the sky and who made them. Yeah. And there was something about that that was so impactful for me. And I would imagine that you must have been so impacted by doing things like Work Crew and signing up to be around people your own age who were pursuing and worshiping God.
Yeah, that, yeah, I love that story. I agree. There is a unique aspect of, yeah, people your age living lives similar to you. It makes you see it in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you experience anything damaging in regards to faith and living it out that you now can look back on and you would advise others not to do when it comes to talking to kids about faith?
I don't have a specific response of this was damaging or do or don't do this. I think the most damaging things that can be done are not talking about it enough or not creating a space where kids feel like they can ask questions. And so I think growing up in a church setting, there sometimes is that kind of unspoken expectancy that there are just some things you should know or not have a hard time with or whatever it may be. And so I think that can be hard then because it feels like, oh, I shouldn't be having a question about this, or I shouldn't be, you know, curious about this. But yeah, I think just creating, I don't know, places where kids feel like they can ask anything about God and are able to, yeah, just feel free to, you know, seek out questions and just be really honest about what they're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. God can handle all our questions, can't he?
Yeah.
When do you think your faith became your own?
Yeah, this is something that I've thought through a lot as in different settings I've been asked to share my testimony or just even talking with friends. And I think I often have kind of responded to that question with more a series of events or moments. I don't really have a specific time where something clicked or changed. But there definitely was a progression of growing up in a Christian family. And I loved that, loved being involved in church and everything. But I would say high school is when I kind of really hit the time where it was like, all right, I've grown up doing all of this. I've liked it, but do I really want to make this my own? Because I'm going to be choosing a college soon and I'm really choosing my friends. I was in private school until eighth grade and then went to public high school. And so I think with that just brought up a lot of questions and was really when I kind of went, okay, I'm either going to be all in or not. And definitely chose to be all in. But yeah, I would say high school for sure is often when I kind of think of different things that kind of personalized my faith.
When you describe that season of time where you almost felt like you needed to decide if you were going to be all in, was that a question being posed to you or was that the Spirit of God kind of leaning in on you? Or was that just you kind of deciding, I don't want to be wishy-washy or I don't want to just do religion in church. I want to like decide where I'm at. I mean, what was it that was kind of like pressing in for you to make that commitment?
Yeah, definitely. I think questions that I was asking myself, I was friends with a lot of people that I had so much fun with and just thought were so awesome in high school, but were not in a spot where they were pursuing their faith at all. And so I think it naturally just caused me to ask some questions of why am I doing this when I'm having conversations with people who don't believe in a God and can articulate why not? And that would cause me to go, okay, so why is it that I do? Or why is it that I'm not living this kind of lifestyle? And just kind of dig into some of those questions that didn't come up as much in private school. And so, yeah, I would say definitely questions that I asked myself that were kind of just brought up from the friends I was hanging out with and the school that I was going to.
When you think about your peers, what do you see as the biggest trip ups of their faith?
I think it can be, and this is something that I have such a hard time with too, so hard to sometimes just get outside of ourselves. And I guess I think of the college season I'm in right now where I'm pursuing a degree that I've chosen at a school that I've chosen in a place that I've chosen where every day my focus is, you know, what am I going to eat? What am I going to study? Who am I going to hang out with? And as important of a season this college one is, I think a common thing that my peers and myself can fall into is just forgetting that it's such an individualized period of life right now. And that can be awesome and there can be room for tremendous growth. But I think just not letting that become the ultimate thing and being involved in things where I'm focused on other people and kind of being pulled out of myself. I think that's been really hard. I think the second one that really jumps out at me is just being in such a feeling driven culture and society. That's another thing that's been hard for me. I feel like I experience emotions deeply and will often want to decide something or move a certain way based off of, oh, I feel this or this is bothering me. And just a need to sometimes go, well, this is what I know to be true and I'm going to act on it even if I'm not feeling it right now. So I think just the self-focus and the feeling-driven society that we're in would be my two answers there.
Interesting perspective. I like it. What are you finding to be hard about walking out your faith as a college student? I mean, I know you're sharing, like you shared some of the things that trip us up, but what are you finding to be hard?
I think what has surprised me in this last few months of being at home and transitioning from moving out of school with everything going on with Corona has been prioritizing one-on-one time with the Lord. I don't know why that's felt harder. I think it's because I don't have as much of a routine. So I guess that makes sense. But I think it can be easy for me to move on with the day. And this happens during, you know, the school year too, or the summer, and just not spend time to sit with the Lord. And I think I really feel that and see that in my life when I'm not doing that, but it still continues to be a hard thing sometimes to always prioritize. So that's definitely been something that I've, you know, had to think through. How is it that I'm going to make this happen since it is so important?
Yeah, I think when we get out of a routine and a rhythm, it's hard because we have to reshift priorities, right? I mean, even as someone who's been married for over 20 years, it's sometimes hard to prioritize time with my husband, and our relationship with God is a relationship. And so prioritizing it means we're saying, hey, this is important to me and I want to invest in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And like any other relationship we have, we have to shift and prioritize, and sometimes we get off balance and we have to make some changes to get back on course. But I love that the Lord is in relationship with us in a way that isn't guilt-producing, but more an invitation. He wants to spend time with us and we get to spend time with him. And I love that your heart is that you want to spend time with him.
Yeah.
That's so cool. When you think about your generation, and you think about the people your age who maybe were like me at your age, that I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, for your generation of people, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions about following Jesus?
I think often that, I mean, the cliche one that I feel like I've heard a lot is that, oh, people think it's going to be so easy, but it's really so hard. I definitely agree with that one. Following the Lord and obeying, where I feel like he's opening different doors and leading, has brought up numerous situations where I've been like, this is not coming with an ease that I expected it would have. I think that's a common one. I think too, a lot of people assume that it will be really hard to hear God's voice and see what he's doing. And I've definitely experienced that too. But I think the misconception there is just one step in front of the other, just kind of that simple obedience I have found produces hearing from the Lord in so many different ways. And there's been so many times where I've been like, oh, I feel like God's not going to lead this or direct this. But when I am showing up and spending time with him and trusting, which I am so much worse at than I would like to be, I feel like he does make it clear. And so I think, that's a big misconception too, that he won't show up, that he won't, reveal where he's working, but he does. And I found that to be consistent, as so many different people in my life have too.
What helps you to stay close to Jesus and keep colliding with him, Rebecca?
I think the first thing would be community and friends, having people who are asking me what my time with the Lord is looking like and asking specific questions, holding me accountable, whether that's things that I've shared about or things that they just knowing me as a person want to ask me about and check in. So I'd say having a strong community of people who know you and can sometimes see what you need in a way that you can't. I think I've also felt like I've been able to stay close from the Lord by viewing prayer as less of a, I'm going to sit down and pray now, and more of just a 24/7 dialogue going in my head where I'm interacting with someone and at the same time, maybe kind of asking the Lord, what do you want me to say right now? Or what am I not doing well? And just kind of always asking God questions as I'm going throughout my day. And I think that's really kind of reminded me of the closeness that exists there as well. And then just spending time with him daily, quiet time. I think that is so important. And that has really been what's pulled me through a lot of different seasons. So that's a big one too.
Break that down for us a little bit, Rebecca. I think about people who hear the words quiet time and it either sounds really like religious or legalistic to them, or they have no idea where to start, or they're wondering like, why do you even like that?
For sure.
What is it that you get out of that time that you, when you refer to quiet time, I'm assuming you mean a set aside time where you're intentionally connecting with God. What does that give to you when you do that? What do you experience in those moments that make you want more of it?
Yeah. I think quiet time, like I've been referring to, is something that's changed in different seasons and looks different for different people. But ultimately, to me, it is creating a space to really just spend time with the Lord, like even we are right now just talking. And so often that's reading my Bible, that's thinking through what's going on in my life right now and just kind of reflecting and seeing what I'm doing well and not doing well, praying about specific things, really just sitting with the Lord in conversation. And I think what I often feel after times like that does vary. There's times where I'll end a quiet time and be so excited about the Lord and what he's doing and feel encouraged. And times where I also will walk away and be like, I have no idea what God is doing right now in this situation. And I don't feel like he's leading this, or I don't feel like it's clear. And so it's not so much that it always after each individual quiet time produces an excitement for Jesus, but more that it reminds me, I think just kind of the big picture perspective and does at the same time encourage me, even though I just said it doesn't always feel like the most blatant excitement, but just reminds me that God's in control. This is not my life. This is his. And I think really just shines some perspective on my own life.
That's awesome. Hey, do you have any mentors right now in your life?
You know, that is something I've actually been thinking about a lot lately. I don't. I'm at a smaller college where a lot of the professors have, been relationships I've been able to engage in intentionally. And so some of those feel a bit like a mentorship, but I do not have a specific mentor right now that I'm meeting with. But that's something that I'm really actually hoping to connect with someone through my church this next year. So no, I don't, but I am in the process of really hoping I can figure something out for that. I think it's so important.
Well, I kind of asked because we are huge on intergenerational relationships at Collide, and you just seem like you're so committed to pursuing God, and I wondered how much mentors play into that. But clearly your family members serve as mentors to you, and you've had a ton of mentors along the way. It truly is hard as a college student to find mentors because so many college students move from their hometown to a town where they're transitory. They know they're in this in-between. They're not staying usually in that city. They're there for a few years. They don't know a ton of people other than peers. So it's often very hard to find people who can mentor them. We've had college students through Collide for years sign up to be mentored, and they truly want people older than the faith to pour into their lives. Yeah. But they genuinely don't know any in the city they go to college in.
For sure.
So I'd imagine that's part of your quandary.
Yeah, that definitely has posed a challenge for sure that I can relate to, just with the inconsistency of college years and moving around and then coming back home for breaks. It does feel harder to get connected, but yeah.
Hmm. When you think about the generation coming up after you, what do you hope to instill in them about a life following after God?
Yeah, I think probably an answer similar to something I mentioned earlier, which is really just clinging to the Bible and what God's leading and not feelings. That's definitely been something that I've spent a lot of time thinking through in my own life. So I think it's just not letting feelings and emotions dominate, but going, what is true and what's God leading and how do I figure that out, and letting that be the focus.
Hmm. A lot of people misunderstand your generation, Rebecca. They blame your generation. I think they put a lot of you in a box. Help us out of that box. What are the beautiful things you're seeing your generation do to be Jesus-like and make this world a better place?
Yeah, I guess I think about my own friends and the different things that I see there. And I see just a lot of passion directed towards helping other people and volunteering with different things and being involved in churches in different ways and serving there and different nonprofits and things like that. And I think I see a genuine desire to be involved in different causes that feel bigger than ourselves, or that feel like there's a shift of, you know, taking the focus off of me and really seeing how I can invest in someone else. So I think I've seen a lot of my friends do that well. Yeah, that's definitely, I think, a big one.
Hmm. I love that you mentioned earlier that so often the college age season brings kind of a self-involved season, and yeah, it's one of the biggest trip ups. But then you're also saying, but you're seeing this passion rise up in your generation to step outside of that.
Yeah.
And serve other people. And I think that gives all of us hope for the future.
Yeah.
If you could leave us with one thing that you wish everyone knew about Jesus, what would you want to say?
I would say that it's so worth it. There have been seasons where it's felt so much harder than others, but at the end of the day, that would always be my response, just that it is so worth it.
Well, thank you so much for making space in your busy college age season to have a chat with me. I love that I got to have you on here, just talk to you, this everyday young adult who's pursuing Jesus in your life. And I think parents can gain from what you had to share today. I think young students can gain from what you had to say. And I love that you have made your faith your own. You're chasing hard after God, and truly you are saying yes to his call on your life to make this world a better place. You inspire me, Rebecca, and I'm just glad that I got to have this convo with you.
Well, thanks for saying all of that. It's been so fun to just get to see everything that Collide is doing and interact with you guys, and such an awesome organization to be a part of and see what you're doing. So it was an honor. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And for those of you guys who are listening, I hope that this podcast blessed you today. Keep colliding, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at We Collide Women, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.